Morning, everybody.
I lost my glasses.
Not a good thing, that's why I'm scrambling here. I was all ready to go and went to read, and I don't have my glasses. So what that might mean, you know, these should be quick anyway, but that might mean a particularly quick Devo today. As we're walking with Jesus in... Well, my computer's all gobbledygook today, too. In Luke 10. And we're going to keep going with the passage that where Jesus has sent out the others, the 72. The group of folks, I imagine, that it was where John, seeing them doing something in Jesus' name, tried to stop them. And Jesus said, no, just because they're not part of you doesn't mean they're not part of me, which is an important principle. So in Luke 10, Jesus is equipping his people and preparing them for ministry as they prepare the way for him. The personal concept, the personal application of that right out of the chute is something we talked about before too. Our good works give a good opinion of God. So when we treat people with gentleness and grace and mercy and love and patience and tolerance, what we're doing is we're demonstrating the ethic of the kingdom. We're demonstrating the character of our Father. I think that's why Jesus said, he goes, be merciful to others as you, in essence, be like your Father and offer mercy. And in doing so, you prove yourself to be children of your Heavenly Father. What he doesn't say there is, my brothers and sisters. Neither does he say, he doesn't say, you alert them to me. What he says is, you alert them to the goodness of your Father. Why is that? Well, if I'm understanding this sending of the 72 out, he sent them to towns and villages where he would go to prepare the way for him so that the hearts were ready when he got there. And they had been given essentially the same authority the apostles had with regard to the message and the power and then the assignment to heal, drive out demons. Well, that again is God presenting himself. It's him revealing himself. It's the Father expressing his presence through power and a coming message. What's the coming message? The person of Christ. And so what does this actually look like? It looks like our walking into wherever it is we find ourselves, engaging the ones who our lives intersect with, treating them with mercy to prove ourselves, that which is a miraculous act, by the way, right? The great miracle of Christianity is the saving of the soul, the sanctification of the broken person, the holiness that a Christian displays, kind of in spite of themselves. That's the miracle. That's the presence of the power of God. That is the presentation of the kingdom to a people who have not yet seen it. What does that do? Well, alerting the people to the power of God and the miraculous power of God to change a life, that changed life would then treat you with dignity and respect, that would then alert them to, you must be a child of God, the one who is the authority and is the power and has now become present, that prepares their heart for the coming of Christ. That's why Peter says, after you've lived a good life, after you've lived a life that reflects Christ, after you've confessed your sin when you haven't acted like Christ, and people are astonished that you would even recognize your sin, let alone take responsibility for it, acknowledge it, and confess it. Set Christ apart as Lord now. They see the presence of God in you. They see the miraculous power of God in you. Now set Christ apart as Lord, and be prepared to give a reason for your hope when you're asked. Well, what does that mean? That your life, though cracked and not always displaying the righteousness you are, but miraculously displaying the mercy of God, alerts them to God's presence. And so when they ask, what they're asking is, what is your hope? And so what happens then? You usher Jesus in. The town has been prepared for Jesus' arrival by the good works that you accomplish mercifully among the people. And then you get to bring Jesus forward when they ask. What does that look like? Luke chapter 10, verse 1. He says, after this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves, he says. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone along the road. When you enter the house, first say, peace to this house. Now, let me make a point here. When he says, do not greet anyone on the road, he's not saying, don't be cordial. He's not saying, don't say hello. He's not saying, don't say, have a good day. You have to understand the times. To greet someone on the road at that time meant to stop and engage them and even go with them, right? If they were to ask you to stay with them for a meal, cultural mores would say, you're to go. And so what he's saying is, don't be distracted from. Do not allow someone's hospitality to pull you away from the mission you're on. Recognize what it is you're doing and be resolute in going. Get there. That doesn't mean don't be cordial. It doesn't mean someone say hello. It doesn't mean any of that. It means in this culture, if someone greets you and they invite you for a meal, you can't do that, right? So understand, he's not saying ignore people. What he's saying is do not engage in what would be the normal cultural courtesies. So we go on. When you enter a house, say peace on this house or peace to this house. If someone promotes peace there, your peace will rest on them. If not, it will return to you. Stay there, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move from house to house. When you enter a town and are welcome, eat what is offered to you. Heal the sick who are there to demonstrate the power of God in you, the authority that you have been granted. The kingdom of God has come near you, tell them. This is evidence not of some miraculous or magical powers I have, but God's presence is here, and it's demonstrated by his power. Remember, in Exodus, he demonstrated his presence with his power first, and then exerted grace second, the Ten Commandments, right? In Exodus 19 and 20. So it goes on to say, when you enter a town and are not welcome, go into the streets and say, even the dust of your town we wipe from your feet as a warning to you. Now, again, he's talking to the Israelites, going to Israelites who are looking for the Messiah, now denying the power of God and his presence, and then the coming of the actual and real Messiah. So he's talking about those who know and deny, walk away from them, and remind them, and remember this, the kingdom of God has come near. And tell them that what you've been praying for is closer at hand than you think, and it is here for the taking. Will you receive it? He says, I can tell you it'll be more bearable on that day than for Sodom, it'll be more bearable on the day of judgment for Sodom than that town. So I want to go down to verse 15 now. Last time we were together, we talked about the woe, right? So we're going to go to verse 16. Whoever listens to you, listens to me. Whoever will hear the message that I've granted to you with authority, and they receive it, has listened to me. In other words, this is not of you. It's not from you. You are the vessel. You are the privileged vessel of this message to this people. When they listen to you, they're listening to me. So speak truth and speak it plainly. Speak of the truth, who is the one who sent you. Point them to me through you, through your works, through your message. Point to me. So he says, whoever listens to you, listens to me, and whoever rejects you, rejects me. In other words, don't shrink back. This is not about you. Don't be discouraged. This is not about you. Don't compromise the message. This isn't about you. This is about me and their heart toward me. So be resolute. Be committed. Certainly grieve if someone rejects it, because your desire, like my desire, would be that they would be saved. But understand that not everyone will be. There will be many who reject. So do not be discouraged and do not take it personally. It goes on. Whoever rejects me rejects the one who sent me. They may say they believe in God, but they deny God. They deny God by denying the Son. If they claim they love the Son but do not love the Father, then they are still mistaken. Verse 18, he replied, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. And now I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome the power of the enemy. The enemy is among you. I saw him fall from heaven. He's going to fling arrows at you. It's going to be like snakes and scorpions. He's going to oppose your work. He's going to oppose you. He's going to tempt you and test you. He's going to interfere with what you're doing. And he has minions everywhere to accomplish that. Do not be afraid. I've given you authority. He's not saying literal snakes and scorpions. He's saying the venom of the enemy, the attacks of the enemy. You are, in other words, I'm sending you into enemy territory. There are snakes and scorpions all around you. Do not be surprised. Do not be afraid. I've given you authority to trample that. Your faith in me has given you eternal life. You are hidden with me and hidden with God inside me for eternity. Do not fear rejection. Do not be discouraged. Do not take it personally. When you are attacked, again, I've given you authority to overcome. Even if you lose your physical life, you will not lose your spiritual life. So he goes on to say this. I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. He's here. I've given you authority to trample on his snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Your eternal life is secure in me. No one can snatch you from my hands. Therefore, do not be afraid. Do not look at this world. Why doesn't he want him to go with an extra set of sandals or an extra coat or a bag or anything of the sort? Because this is about eternal life in the kingdom of heaven. This is not about your temporal life here on earth. Jesus would say, what good is it for a man to gain the entire world here in a tangible, tactile way and then lose his very soul? It does not matter. He would later say, sell everything you have and give it to the poor. Not because that saves you, but because you're showing that you recognize that this life isn't it. This earth isn't it. This life meaning my existence here today. It's not what ultimately matters. You are saved and you are held and you are loved and you are possessed. Break your attachments to this world. Don't think that your death here and how you die and when you die and why you die has any effect on your eternal life. So he says, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. He is here and he's present. I've given you authority to trample on all of his attacks, all of his attacks on your soul, on the knowledge of the truth, on the mission that I have you on, that you might overcome all that power. The power of death, nothing will harm you. Again, that doesn't mean there might not be physical harm. We see that later. Martyrdom, persecution. No, he's speaking of your soul. He's speaking of your eternal life. He's speaking of your position in Christ, your identity as a child of God. He's speaking of the heavenly realm. What we do here matters because it's an expression of who we are in Christ. It is how we bring forward the kingdom of heaven. It is how God works in us to alert those around us to the Father's presence, to usher in now the Son and salvation with him. He goes on to say this. However, he said, even though I've given you this authority, however, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you. That's a matter of my power and authority. Rejoice that it happens. Rejoice that someone is removed, had their chains of bondage removed. But don't rejoice in the act. Rejoice in this, he says, that your names are written in heaven. The authority you walk with, the power that you exhibit, the works that are done, even the driving out of demons, is all an expression of your possession, your position in me. That your names are written in the book of life. And it's one of the privileges of being children of the high king and brothers and sisters with the prince. The first thing to do is rejoice that we have eternal life. The next thing to do is to yield ourselves to our prince, our king, for his bidding and his work. And to rejoice in the privilege of the partnership and marvel at the power of God to move. So may we marvel at God's power. May we be astonished at what it accomplishes. May we be humbled and bewildered that we get to be a vessel. And then may we rejoice first and foremost that we're children of God and our names are written in the book of life. And everything that is accomplished is because of that. And that because of Jesus' life, his death, his resurrection, his ascension, and his having become sin for us, that we might now be his righteousness. We might now be good and act according to that goodness that is Jesus in us.